And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, when a wily pickpocket steals Ahsoka's lightsaber, she enlists the help of an ancient Jedi to track down the weapon and reclaim her honor. There'll be Jango jumpers, an old man, and a visit to the lost and found. We're talking about lightsaber lost this week. How are you, Chris?
Good. How do we know he was old? He might have just been low energy.
Didn't Jocasta Nu say like he's an ancient Jedi?
Oh, okay. Well, still, what if his lifespan was 3 million years old? He could still be ancient and still be like, he could be pubescent.
Yeah, I mean, when I hear ancient Jedi, I think like Yoda.
Well, he and Yoda actually seem to be buddies, so yeah. Yeah, I'm being a jerk because he was obviously old.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm just like, and then now you got me thinking, like, for all we know, he could be in his teenage years.
Exactly.
Or maybe it's like Benjamin Button, and he goes backwards.
Oh, he could, yeah.
He's like five and an old man.
Crazy far, far away galaxies.
The planet of Benjamin Buttons. That'd be great.
I still never seen that movie.
Me neither. I just know the concept of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And so the creepy, like, old man baby makeup.
Movies like that, I almost feel like I should see them that have become, like, where the concept is so strong that, it, like, I mean, you could say Benjamin Buttons and everybody knows, okay, they age backwards. And that's not even a thing. There's not even, well, no, there's those kids that age really quickly, but, you know, it's not even a thing, but everybody knows what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Very much so. So I'm eating a cookie. This is my last cookie.
Mm, what kind of cookie?
Oh, right. Yeah, I was hungry. I needed a snack.
What flavor cookie?
Chocolate chip.
Chewy
chocolate chip.
Classic.
The chewy chocolate chips are the best. It's what I grew up on, and it was always at my grandparents' house. So whenever I eat chewy chocolate chip cookies, I always think of my grandparents.
You mean like? Are we talking like the
Chips Ahoy?
Chips Ahoy. Okay. See, I remember when I was a kid when those came, when they discovered either the ingredient or the way to do them to make them like that, and oh my God, people freaked out.
Really?
Oh yeah, it was amazing. Because soft cookies were always that was the thing about soft cookies is the only place you got soft cookies is right out of the oven, you know, when they were still warm and pliable. So these found out some way technically, you know, scientifically and chemically to keep them that sort of spongy, you know, and like processed food, they're their own sort of thing. They're not like real cookies, but they have their own sort of like midway between cookie dough and a finished cookie texture that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'll eat half a box of those things.
Yeah, we got them on sale, so I have been taking like two or three to work with me to have as dessert when I take my lunch, so I like them. They're delicious. And they remind me of my nanny and my papa. I speak as if my papa's dead. He's very much alive. So, but my nanny, God rest in peace. So, but lightsabers? Lightsabers. Lightsabers! All right, ready?
I am ready.
All right, let's get into it. Yeah, this week's Yoda is another not great one.
Clunker.
I'm sorry, Yoda.
Let's just say it. It's a clunker.
Yeah. All right, so Lightsaber Lost is the 33rd episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on January 22, 2010, after a two-week hiatus. It was written by Drew Z. Greenberg and directed by Juan Carlo Volpe. Some extra information for you. When Ahsoka is visiting Jocasta Nu in the Jedi Archives Library, a criminal file on Braytanika is open on the computer Nu is using, and the Arabish text next to her picture reads, "Last seen on Coruscant, wanted for murder." On Coruscant, when Ahsoka is looking for a lightsaber to buy near the fast food restaurant, the wall written on the wall behind her is massage. Coruscant. Yeah, I like a lot of these.
That would have been great if they like broke in there and Yoda was on the table with a little, you know, blanket covering his bathing suit area and.
Yoda has bad back.
I just saw like Ahsoka like slowly closing the door and walking away.
Yeah, at least it didn't say like space happy ending or something like that.
When I first wrote it down, I misread it and I thought it said message, and I thought it was funny that they wrote a message on the wall that said message, and then I realized it said massage.
Makes a little more sense. Although that may be a great new form of graffiti.
Yeah, just write message.
Message
in Arabish. On Coruscant, when Ahsoka is chasing Cassie Cryer, numerous floating advertising boards are featured in Arabish writing. One board says soda, another reads Star Tours, Gliansom! Call 1-800-555-6576 now! My white whale, Gliansom!
Wow.
The text under Palpatine reads Quat Drive yards away before being cut off. Despite the fact that...
I'm sorry to cut you off right after you said cut off. I just had a Arabish graffiti idea.
Huh.
Spell the word nerd in Arabish.
Nerd. If you can read this, you are a nerd.
Yeah. That'd be just like, hey, I could read that. Hey.
And then go,
but wait, only another nerd could have thought of that. Hey.
Oh my god, that's how I want to do it.
All right, all you listeners, make it happen in your towns across the country.
And then send it to us on our Facebook page.
Yeah, it would be an excellent, why can't I think of the word of it? When you cut out the shape of it out of the cardboard.
Cardboard cutout?
No, to spray paint through.
Oh, like the stencil.
Stencil! That's the word. Stencil. Oh my
stencil.
God. I'm an idiot.
That's okay. I have those moments.
I seem to have them mostly during this show where I'm just like, you know that word, that thing with four legs that eats dog food. What is its name?
You know, normally I would make fun of you, but I know how many podcasts you're on, so I understand. I mean, I have those moments on this show, and as of right now, this is my only podcast, so I don't have an excuse. All right, where was I? Despite the fact that on one of the floating ads Ahsoka jumps on involves Palpatine making a speech and that the speech is included in the quotes of the episode guide, neither the character nor Ian Abercrombie, the Supreme Chancellor's usual voice actor, appears in the credits. A list of destinations pop up at the hover train station, and one of the destinations is Burbank, a reference and in-joke to the town in California. A similar in-joke would appear later in Season 5 in the episode To Catch a Jedi. Pablo Hidalgo mentioned that Cassie Cryer and Ione Mercy were intended to be lovers, which is why in my show notes I call them gal pals. TM. It's not Gal Pals, it's Gal Pals TM. That means lesbian. Cassie was voiced by Jamie King, who is also the voice of Aura Singh in The Clone Wars. And finally, in the episode featurette, Dave Filoni says that this is one of his favorite episodes, and George Lucas was the one who actually pitched this episode. When a Jedi loses their weapon, he says, everything that happens to that weapon is their responsibility, so you need to try and get it back. The setting for this episode was going to be the streets of Coruscant. We're going down there where Anakin was at the beginning of Attack of the Clones, chasing Zam Wessel, and really gets into the streets. We had some traveling signs that I got from Star Tours, like the go to visit Endor thing. I love that when I stood in line for Star Tours. We put a little bills up here and there to make it look like punk bands were playing on Coruscant. We got to the sequence with these giant levitation billboards. Ahsoka leaps and slides down the face of Palpatine, and he needed to be saying something. So I wrote this whole speech where he's basically defending the Jedi Knights. That billboard plays into things you see in Revenge of the Sith, where Palpatine is feeding that idea to everybody. Palpatine has engineered it so he can get what he wants in the end. Here we have an electric billboard where you can barely hear what's going on. It really has nothing to do with the story, but I like to put that stuff in there for fans that are aware of the bigger picture. It's just in the background of the show. And the final note, the eighth brother from Rebels was also a Tyrellian Jango jumper like Cassie.
Jango jumper.
I like Jango jumpers. I like that. Cassie is just awesome. I love her.
Well, I started having a note of like, how the hell could this person jump like that without being a Jedi? And then they said something like, she's a blah, blah, blah Jango jumper. And I'm like, well, I guess that explains it.
Yeah, I think it's like in their species. Because I remember from the eighth brother, he was the exact same. He was supposedly a Force user, so I would love to see how far he could jump using both his Jango jumping abilities and being a Force user.
Indeed.
Though I just wonder something. Are all Inquisitors Force users, or are they only trained in lightsabers?
I would imagine they'd have to have a little bit of Force.
But it's never specified. Like, is that a requirement to be a person?
I don't know. It depends on what, like, if that's going to be their only job, maybe not, because the Sith probably wouldn't want them learning anything.
We do know that the other two Inquisitors were Force users.
Yeah, or they may be just using the Inquisitors and start teaching them a little Sith tricks to see which one of them are the most adept and possibly, you know, could, you know, be go on to further training or something, you know? It could be sort of mid-level sort of testing area. So some of them develop them, some of them don't.
Because I like that idea that maybe not all of them is Force users, but they might be, say, like Cad Bane, who easily could use a lightsaber against Obi-Wan.
Well, that's why I like this phase and when a show like Rebels comes out, because they might eventually explain all that in Rebels, but right now it's more fun, I think, when you have no idea, you know?
Yeah.
And they're just sort of there, and you can speculate in a million different directions.
Yes, except for there are some answers I just want now. Like, is Jesse alive? Is he okay? Where's Jesse? Where's Jesse? We know that what happens to all pretty much every featured clone in this show, except for Jesse. Mm-hmm. Yoda, make me feel better.
I don't know if that's gonna happen this week.
Aww.
All right, here he comes in his tattered and, frankly, funky bathrobe.
Well, he did just come out of massage.
Yeah, that's true. He is feeling limber today.
He's feeling like super like relaxed and like uber flexible, like more flexible than normal.
He's sort of punching the air and flipping his shoulders like a boxer right now.
Oh. No, he's having a Breakfast Club moment. He walks out and punches his fist in the air. And everybody else is walking around him, and he's just holding his fist in the air, frozen.
Yeah.
Don't you.
And these Jedi that you spit on as they try to change their world. Alright.
A whole new world.
We're just padding out this frankly lame space platitude. Although platitudes, you know, on their own are kind of lame. This is especially... All right. Enough stalling.
Do it. Do it! Like Shia Buff says, do it!
Easy isn't always simple. In bed.
I
have no idea what that means. It means more when you add in bed to it, because it could be like... All right, is the person easy, and then the simple mean that they're uncomplicated, or does it mean that they're like Simple Simon?
Maybe they're right. they're easy, but then you find out that they're a crazy person.
Yes,
they're secretly crazy in bed.
Yes, or they're yes, okay, yes, that's yeah.
You know what the problem I have with this one though? It literally has nothing to do with the episode.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Like, the whole theme of the episode was patience.
Well, it's like last week. It could have had something to do with the episode. I mean, it's like just one shade away from, you know, they could have changed it into quickly isn't always simple or you know, quickly or something very similar to this. You could almost stretch it into the episode, but it's just not going to fit. Yeah, I don't... I'm still convinced they just came up with a bunch of them and just pulled them out of a tumbler and put them onto the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I feel like maybe for, like, more important episodes or stuff like that, like, they actually, like, took a thing and tried it, but, like, most of the time it's just, like, this has nothing to do with life.
Mm-hmm.
I think fortune cookies are better than some of these.
Yeah, and they're random, too. You know?
We should have a show where we just have a pile of fortune cookies, and what we do When there's a bad platitude, we just choose one at random, and then we read it to see if it's better.
No, here's what we'll do. This is what we gotta do. Whenever you get a fortune cookie, save it, and every once in a while, when either one of us get a fortune cookie, we'll do a show where we have two... we can't do it as a contest, because the internet would ruin it, because anybody could look it up. But we could have two of them, and you could have... Alright, guess which one is a fortune cookie... And which one is the original space platitude?
Oh.
And then we could see which one also applies to the episode better. I'll bet you there's a pretty good chance that the fortune cookie could win a lot of the times.
You know, I'm pretty sure I could get fortune cookies relatively cheap at Costco.
Yeah, but that's cheating. That's cheating, Hope.
I don't eat Chinese a lot. I probably won't have a fortune cookie until, like,
well, you just make it known to your friends that you need fortune cookies, and one of them will be eating Chinese food and be like, I don't want to eat this crappy fortune cookie anyway, and they'll bring you one.
No.
Or they'll go like, I've got 15 of those in my kitchen drawer at home from when we get takeout, along with the package.
We do have a nice takeout place very close to our house, and they do deliver. Maybe I'll do that next week. I'll order takeout before our episode and just read the fortune cookie.
J-Guys and Jedi, brought to you by Chan's Chinese Food.
It's
take out or eat in.
Great. There's Rexinator shows up with his thumbs up. It's great. Clone approved.
Oh.
All right, well, act one.
Yeah, let's get as far away from that stinker of a platitude as we can. Let's put some distance between that thing.
Yeah, we'll get on our speeder and drive 35 miles an hour into the plane. All right, so... Act 1. Anakin and Ahsoka have descended into the underbelly of Coruscant, looking for a black market arms dealer named Kar Afa, who's selling to the Separatists. Anakin enters a cantina, leaving Ahsoka to guard the door. Suddenly, blaster fire and lightsaber whooshes are heard inside, as the crowd barrels out of the building in panic. They swarm Ahsoka, knocking her down. She realizes that her lightsaber was stolen by a little ducky thief named Banamu. She gives chase, but she loses him in the crowd. Anakin got their man, and Ahsoka lies that she was following another suspect. Back at the Jedi Temple, Ahsoka asks if she can go to the library to do some research. Anakin gives the okay. In the library, Jocasta Nu is sure that Anakin would understand the missing lightsaber, but Ahsoka doesn't trust her master with it. They look through the archive records for the thief, but it's taking too long. Jocasta Nu introduces Ahsoka to an elder Jedi master named Tara Sanube, who is an expert on the criminal underworld of Coruscant. She explains to him that the thief was from one of the aquatic worlds, but that's all she saw. He narrows down the district and they name their bad guy. Ahsoka is eager to go and ready, but Master Sanube volunteers himself for the mission. She is not that eager to have an old guy slow her down. What do you think of Act 1, Chris?
It's weird how the Jedi are like the cops. Why do they have, like, crime databases and stuff like that, you know?
And why do they have police droids if they're the cops?
Yeah, it's weird. Are those Jedi police droids, or are they just police droids that the Jedi called or whatever?
No, I think they were the police droids that were there, and then the clones showed up. Because I had a note later on, like, where are the clones in all this? Because we know that they're clones guarding Coruscant, and we see them walking around the streets and everything. So I was sad there was no clones. But that's a good point. Like, I think that they normally wouldn't deal with this guy if he wasn't selling to the Separatists.
Right.
That's how I took it.
But, man, I like the look of Coruscant. I like the look of Coruscant, period. I like the look of it in here. They really... play up the Ralph McQuarrie-ness and the 20s-ness of it with the colors and the buildings. You know, the Coruscant buildings aren't like glass and steel. They're like 20s stone buildings. You know, they look like New York City.
Yeah.
And it's just really cool. And I like how it's literally tiered where, like, the lower you get, the more seedy it gets. And so I was really happy to see something set in Coruscant and not set, like, in the Jedi Temple completely or something like that. But
While we're talking about the city, I mentioned this later, but I noticed it real, especially in this first act. I love the sound design of the city.
Oh yeah,
like there was a moment where Ahsoka and Anakin were walking by, and there was just a guy coughing nearby, but I never actually saw the guy. But I mean, that's very true. And I saw like one of the I can't remember Hondo's race, but there was a guy that was his race, and he had like a freaking peg leg in the alley. And so just like little details like that were just super cool.
Well, they really, I mean, the sound design in episode 2 for Coruscant was very distinct and very, just really nice. Like, I thought it was one of the first things that stood out when I first saw that movie in the theater was, man, it has that feeling that you're in a city. You know, it feels like the ambiance of a city. And but in its own sort of Star Wars way, and I think they, you know, played off that a lot in this. They really tried to. There's musical cues in here that are right from Episode 2 too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's everything about the atmosphere and the setting in this one is pretty amazing. I think that the episode should have been completely different though, because Anakin being a Jedi should have at some point, and especially this is set post episode 2. So, you know, Anakin's had a few adventures of losing his lightsaber too. And it just would have seemed like when they were walking the prisoner back, you know, at the last second, Anakin should have just said, oh, by the way, where's your lightsaber?
Or at least been able to sense her, because Ahsoka was clearly worried. And, like, there have been times where Ahsoka frowns and is like, what are you sensing right now? Like, what are you feeling? Right. I sense this. Like, why? I can sense everything about you. But, like, this is, like, the one time, like, he was just like, oh, I got the bad guy. I'm blind to everything.
And she's obviously like, oh, can I go to the library to do some research and stuff? And just kind of squirmy. And, you know, they're Jedi. They're aware of their surroundings. You think he would have been, like, noticed that, like, when he saw something in his Jedi subconscious would have said, something's weird about Ahsoka. Oh, wait, where's her lightsaber? She usually has her lightsaber just hanging around on her hip.
Yeah, gone. And it's not like she's wearing a lot of robes. Like, she doesn't wear a lot of things to, like, cover up her lightsaber.
Right, and he's responsible for her, too. So,
But he's also
self-absorbed. He's also probably the most self-absorbed Jedi that we know anyway, too.
Like, I also, like, I mentioned it in my third act, but I also feel like it would have been much better if, at least if Ahsoka and Anakin had a talk, and then he sent her to look for it, because I feel like then she would have more of a, you know, instead on the Netflix things, like, Ahsoka has to get her honor back.
Right.
Well, she doesn't really have to do that in a way, because Anakin never was like...
Yeah, and you could have Anakin just go, you have 24 hours to get your lightsaber back, and it would have actually added a little extra element of timing to, you know, of time running out to it, if he said, hey, look, I were supposed to report this to the Jedi Council, tell you what, you get your lightsaber back with nobody hurt, you know, with no damage from it, and in 24 hours, and I'll look the other way, you know.
Yeah,
and teach her a lesson or something like that. But they, you know, she sort of sidestepped him. But I think there's a reason for that with Sanube. I think Sanube is supposed to be, I think they wanted to take her away from Anakin and team her up with somebody who is the exact opposite of Anakin, so you could also gauge her, the influence on her by Anakin, you know.
Yeah, but even then, like, having Anakin send her on the mission with, like, a 24-hour time limit, then it really would make sense that she would be so anxious. Like, I have 24 hours, why are we driving 35 miles in the fast lane?
Right. I have an idea also to spoil the whole thing, and that's put a space GPS in every lightsaber. Like, we got them in cell phones, right? You could track your cell phone if somebody runs off with it. Lightsaber's a little more high security, I would think. And
yeah.
And by the way, I'm not. I like Master Sanube. He's sort of more. He's got a little bit of the humorous, mischievous Yoda from Empire. You know.
I like that he tells dad jokes.
Yeah. But I'm not going to call him Master Sanube from now on. I'm calling him Joe Camel Jedi.
Because
he looks like a mixture of Joe Camel and Jar Jar.
God, Chris. You're going to...
Maybe I'll call him Joe Camel Jar Jar. Maybe I'll call him Jar Camel.
Jar Camel. Oh, my God. Well, the
I
only
wish
other
he was
night...
smoking. That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope it's just like, yeah, that'd be awesome.
No, I just can't unsee him now as Joe Camel. Thanks, man. You're the best.
It's okay. Right. It's okay. I'm also gonna come up with a new comparison from him after Act Two. So don't worry. Don't worry. I hopefully that will redeem him. Maybe not. It might be too young. You might be too young for this to redeem him in your eyes now. But maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know how much old TV you watch.
Well, I hope you can help me with the fan question for the day, because someone left us a song to sing, and I'm like, I haven't seen this since I was like 5. I don't remember this. So I hope your love of old TV helps us. Anyway, the only other note I had was if everything has the Force running through it, right? I would assume that means, like, metal and crystals and that, like, that powers all the lightsabers. So I don't, and, like, while I don't expect Ahsoka to be able to do this yet, since she's still a Padawan and stuff, but can't Jedi sense the Force in their own lightsabers? Like, because we saw both in Rebels and The Force Awakens that lightsabers have called to Ezra and Rey, like...
Yeah, but those were, like, lightsabers, like, maybe that somebody imbued a little bit of that in them to, like, attract somebody, or the Force was using to, you know, they were almost, like,
Oh, that's true, because I recently rewatched the first episode of Rebels, and it was Kanan's lightsaber, but Hera and Kanan were testing Ezra to see if he was, A, going to come with them, and B, to see if he really was a Jedi.
Right, and in this case, maybe, you know, maybe after more years and, like, she builds a connection with the actual lightsaber, it might be, and she grows in Jedi power, it might be easier to sort of track your Jedi, but, your lightsaber, but, I don't know, we're really seeing the, like, amazing things a Jedi can do, but there's also, like, you can't make them godlike, you know? There's also seems to be, like, strict limitations. Sometimes, maybe it's different from every species can do different things. Because Sanube is just like, hey, if you're relaxed like me, this is later on, you know, he's sensing people and finding where they are, you know, just by, you know, using sort of like Force radar, you know, to find somebody. So it's sort of random, it seems like, what they can and can't do.
Yeah, I guess the reason I brought it up is now it feels like a continuity thing, because, like I said, like, Ezra and Rey could sense lightsabers and, like, that were calling out to them. And, like, lightsabers always kind of seem like almost like a living thing, almost, but sort of. And so they could sense it, so, like, why couldn't Ahsoka? And then I also started thinking of, you know, like, she probably is still learning, she's a Padawan. And I would argue, as much as I don't like to admit it, that Ezra is a much powerful Jedi, more powerful Jedi than Ahsoka is. When they were both Padawans, let me rephrase this. When they were both Padawans, I would say Ezra is the stronger of the two.
Yeah, you almost get a sense with Ezra that, like, through the Force, maybe he might have been a potential Luke Skywalker, you know?
Yeah.
In that time period, the Force was like, yeah, maybe this guy, you know, Ezra or whatever, you know, but he's something definitely a little more powerful.
I wonder if it's one of those things that, like, Since the Force is a living thing, I wonder if it can be spread thin. So with so many Jedi around, it's kind of like spread thin. But then, like with Ezra, in that time period, there are so few Jedi, so the Force is just like, battery charge the child.
Yeah, you see, I don't see how it could be, because the universe is like insanely huge, and if it runs through everything in the universe, it seems like the well of Force power that you could potentially tap should be, you know, probably as close to infinite, you know, unlimited as you could get.
Yeah, and that wouldn't answer Anakin, too, because Anakin is a super powerful Jedi, and he was born at a time where there were a bajillion Jedis.
Yes, that's true.
20,000, I think, Kanan said.
It sounds like he was born at, like, a peak time of there being Jedis just crawling all over the place, so...
Yeah, because Kanan said I think there was 20,000 Jedi Knights at the time of the Clone Wars.
It's like a decent amount.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have anything else for Act 1, did you?
No, I'm ready to go on to Act 2 is where this really took a little more life. Although Act 1 was a pretty long act, like, time-wise on
yeah.
the screen.
But not a lot happened.
Right, right.
Especially, like, the whole thing. I like Jakatsunu and the thing, but, like, when they were looking for the guys, that was a good several minutes.
Yeah, it didn't. This one didn't really catch on to me till the second part.
Yeah. Alright, so, on the Coruscant streets, they chat with two arms dealers behind a soup shop. Ahsoka is super eager, but Master Sunube is more diplomatic. But she reveals that they're Jedi, and the guys sing a different tune. They direct them to the Spider Arms Hostel, where Bonnaroo, come get your Jedi lightsabers!
I just imagine
a guy smoking out of a lightsaber.
I just imagine the music and all the people swinging lightsabers around like glow sticks, you know.
That would be carnage.
Legs and arms flying everywhere.
There'd be more dead people than Order 66.
There'd be like two people left on E that didn't even know that they just like chopped up the whole festival and one DJ.
It'd be cutting down like youngling daisies. That was a robot chicken joke. Anyway, they directed them to the Spider's Arms Hostel where Bonnaroo likes to hang out. Moving to the hostel, Ahsoka is frustrated they don't know where Bonnaroo is. I can't say this guy's name. Bonnaroo. Sunube advises her to be more quiet with her mind to focus. If she would relax, she would have noticed that the thief's anxiety is behind door number 3. Ahsoka force blasts the door and confronts Bonnaroo. A bit of Anakin comes out of her before she can punch the thief. Sunube calms her down. Bonnaroo has already sold the lightsaber to a man named Nak Movers. Sunube says that Movers is a very dangerous man and a well-known in the criminal underworld, and lives with his girlfriend on the east side of town. Ahsoka isn't excited. Movers is a known killer, and this is exactly what she was afraid of. In Movers' building, Ahsoka super wants to find her lightsaber now. Master Sunube points out that she needs patience, fearing if people die at her lightsaber, she'll be equally guilty for the crime. They find Movers' apartment has already been broken into and pry open the door. Movers is dead. A lamp falls over in the room, and a woman named Ione Marcy, Movers' girlfriend, appears frightened, asking if the killers were gone. Sunube does admit that she seems terrified, but senses something else troubling her. She's a gal pal TM. sorry. Ahsoka,
this Jedi Gaydar is going off.
Gal pal TM. Courtesy of What the Fangirl. Sorry. My editors came up with that. Ahsoka searches the other room and is attacked by a Tyrellian Jango jumper named Cassie Cryer. When Cassie realizes that Ahsoka is a Jedi, she flees the building through the window. Ahsoka gives chase through the cityscape. Master Sunube sits with Marcy to comfort her and plays a tracking device on her. He begins a gentle interrogation, pointing out that Movers was a strong man, so he would have put up a fight. Maybe he was poisoned. And he starts poking holes in Marcy's story. Out in the city, Cassie stays one step ahead of Ahsoka. Cutting up floating billboards, Ahsoka misjumps and has to hop from car to car to pursue the thief. Sunube points out that Marcy is an accomplice, and she calls for her car to the apartment. The authorities arrive, and Marcy flees on her speeder from the balcony. Ahsoka breaks a pipe that Cassie is climbing, and it falls. She follows the thief out on the pipe as they dangle dangerously over traffic. Cassie bounces on the pipe, and Ahsoka loses her balance. Just then, Marcy arrives to pick up Cassie, and the two women get away, like Thelma and Louise without the death.
Yeah, right.
Countdown to him. Hey, what'd you think of Act 2?
This act is when I was just like, okay, now I get it, and I started enjoying it a lot more.
Yeah.
It's an episode of Columbo. You ever seen Columbo with Peter Falk?
No.
Peter Falk is basically Jar Camel. He wears a big overcoat. He moves slowly. He plays he plays more dumb than this guy, but this guy's this guy's whole conversation where he's poking holes in her story is just basically like a condensed Columbo episode, except Columbo would toy with the people through a whole hour of the show, you know? And he'd always come in and be very friendly and just asking friendly questions. And then he would almost be out the door and he'd go, oh, wait, just one more question. If da 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 da. And, you know, eventually he would tip this card that I know that you know that I know that you know that you did it and I know. And it was always great. It was always dialogue and stuff. And they had the same sort of stooped over thing. So I'm like, all right, Clone Wars is doing an episode of Columbo. That's once more like Bombad Jedi. It gets a little hats off for sheer cojones. Script writing cojones. Or at least, you know, not being afraid to do something fun and interesting. What's her name? Marcy. I'm just gonna call her Vagina Eye Mitten Hands. Because I'm like, man, it's weird. Those eyes, you know, this. I haven't seen Star Wars where they had someone's eyes closing sideways before. And I'm like, oh,
they actually
wait.
They kind of remind me of, like, the way that the pupils are. They remind me of goat eyes, but up and down instead of sideways.
Right. And then she holds up her hands and she's got, like, a thumb. And then just, like, it's, like, three fused fingers pad. And then, like, maybe I think a little finger. And I'm just like, oh, my God, she's got mitten hands, too.
Vagina eye mitten hands.
Sounds like a Butthole Surfers album. lots of brown in this. It's like it's almost sepia toned at points. I love it. It's just continuing on with that general beautifulness of the backgrounds and lots of care to the environment and backgrounds. But that's about it I had for this section, although this was my favorite part of the whole episode.
Well, my thing is, do you think that Knack Mover's name is a play on moving knickknacks since he was an arms dealer and he sold Jedi knickknacks?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. it always seems to have some sort of connection like that. I couldn't figure out what it was, and I guess knickknacks is about as good a no prize as you're gonna get on that. That makes sense.
Moving knickknacks. Bonamu's voice actor is James Arnold Taylor, who's the voice of Obi-Wan.
Oh, okay. And you know, he's doing sort of a Watto, basically.
Yeah, like we had, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was the little ducky guy that worked with Cad Bane.
Yeah.
Riboflavin keeps coming to my mind, but
you could call that guy Riboflavin and this guy Bonaroo, you know, instead of having to worry about calling him Bonamu.
Yeah, I'll just call him Bonaroo for the rest. But I just thought, because I knew I recognized his voice, but I didn't realize it was James Arnold Taylor.
No, I wouldn't have recognized it.
And then I never realized that the Twi'lek arms dealer that's behind the fast food restaurant that they were talking to, I never realized that he was asking Ahsoka to owe him a favor, and they never cashed in on that.
Yeah, that would have been great if he turned up in a later episode and was like, and she was about to like take him in or something. He's like, wait a minute, I remember you. You owe me. And then Anakin could have gone like, what was that all about, you know?
Like, you little get away.
Yeah, yeah.
That, yeah.
She'd be like, it was the time I lost my lightsaber. I never heard about that. Oh, yeah, you remember that, don't you?
No, because I was barely in that episode. And then I always thought that Cassie was such a cool character. Like, I've always wanted to see more Tyrellian Jango jumpers in the series. And so when I heard that the Eighth Brother in Rebels was a Jango jumper, I super really wanted to see him unmask, because I think their design is just so cool. And I hate that the one episode he was in, they just never unmasked him. And I think that entire race is just such a cool concept. I've always loved Cassie as a character. I always just thought she was just... had fantastic potential to keep coming back.
I think they should have made their legs like almost ridiculously long. That would have been really cool if they had like...
Her legs are pretty damn long.
They are long, but they're long in just sort of like a supermodel sort of long way, or like a pole jumper sort of way, or runner sort of way. But I mean, if you made them like a little freakishly long, you know what I mean?
I kind of would like to see like... almost their knees being double jointed.
Well, that's what
bit.
I'm saying, and or where the joint on their knee is backwards and like hinged, and you know, like a spring, to give them that extra bounce. You know, that would have been visually really cool too. You know.
Yeah. And then my final note is I just think the whole entire chase sequence is brilliant. It's one of the best action sequences of the series. And once again, the sound design is just so great about how it's constantly moving depending on whether they're on a rooftop and there's like almost air conditioning units, or like when they're jumping from the billboards and the car. It's just such a great sequence.
Yeah, and whenever you're in an area, there's always cars or, you know, or transports flying back and forth, but you get near one of the channels of them and it's a sound like it's very similar to a throughway or something, but it's, you know, a throughway times 10, so it's just like this high pitch, like it's a really distinct sound that they made, you know. It sounds very Star Warsy, and it sounds very Episode 2. I love it.
Yeah. But that's all I have for Act 2.
All right. I'm ready to polish this baby off.
Yeah. All right. So.
And for some reason, I feel the need to smoke a Camel cigarette. I don't know what's up with that.
I'm going to hit the vape.
This one's for you, Hair Metal Hero. You should see the clouds a Hair Metal Hero can make with his vape. It's pretty impressive.
It tastes like Sanubis.
I hit up Hero's vape, and every time I would just emit this little puff of smoke and then like start coughing. It was really sad.
Aw, baby.
He would just tip his head back, take a puff, and like let out this insanely, you know, opaque cloud of smoke. It was amazing. Or sorry, mist.
Well, Act 3. Sanube picks up Ahsoka on a speeder, and she is like, "Oh my god, please drive faster, you're in the left lane." Sanube shows her the tracker place on Ione, and they head to the train station to cut the women off. Cassie sees the tracker on her gal pal TM and destroys it. Ahsoka spots the woman, and the police droids take Ione into custody. Cassie flees, and Ahsoka follows her on top of the train. Cassie breaks into the train and takes a Twi'lek mother and her daughter hostage. Maybe it was a son, because I think I realized later it was a boy. Ahsoka makes a deal with her. She'll trade places with the mom and the kid, knowing how much more a Jedi hostage is worth. Cassie shoots down the deal. The train pulls into the next station, and the doors open to reveal Master Sanube. He pulls his own lightsaber out of his cane and quickly disarms Cassie. Bitch slapping her with his cane, Ahsoka finally has her lightsaber back. The police take Cassie into custody. Back at the Jedi Temple, Sanube wants one last favor from Ahsoka. He wants her to pass on what she's learned about patience. They join Master Yoda in the Padawan lesson, and Ahsoka tells them the value of their lightsabers and The end.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to say
something.
She doesn't
tell him anything about patience or...
I know, and that's what I was going to say. I didn't put this in my notes, but I just realized that as I was reading it. The whole point of this was she needed to have patience, and then she goes and talks about lightsabers.
And if you're going to go for the end, like the South Park ending or the, you know, after school special where, literally talking to the children. Okay, children, this is blah, blah, blah. You might as well at least have her give out the real lesson that she learned, and not that just repeat what Anakin told her.
Yeah.
It's just weird writing.
Though now that I realize it, I think this would have been more interesting if Pablo Hidalgo did get his way and Cassie and Ione was Gal Pals TM, because Cassie left her ass.
Well, you know, if you think about it, and I didn't even think about this till you mentioned it, but it does sort of, it has that element to it, you know, of where, you know, they poison the husband. Here's our opportunity. We'll poison the husband who's probably a jerk. And take the lightsaber, and that'll be our chance to run off.
Yeah, sell it for a ton of cash and then leave this place.
Yeah, and I like it as sub. It's fine as subtext, especially in a PG-13 that's still not getting to full PG-13 show. Mm. So, you know, it's still something you can pick up on. But I like that Jar Camel is teaching. You know, she could have been like, you know, the age and treachery, you know, beat youth and enthusiasm. That could have been a good lesson for the...
Though yeah. I did realize, to catch up with her, he had to probably speed on that speeder.
I'm trying to think of what he did, or he took some other transport or something. But I like his approach, and I love the lightsaber and the cane. Like the old-fashioned, you know, sword and the cane. That was really cool.
It reminded me of when I was kids. Me and my sister, you know how you go into the pharmacy area of a Walmart and they always have a bunch of canes in a bucket?
Uh-huh.
My sister, when I was little, she always used to pick up a cane and just, like, walk around with it and go, "I'm a little old woman." And then she would pick it up and go, "No, I'm Batman! Blam, 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 blam!" And just start pretending to, like, to fire it. Of course, Batman doesn't use guns, but I didn't know that. I was, like, 5. But I always remembered that. So, like, when he pulled his cane out, I thought of my sister doing that, and it was cool.
I just want a cane lightsaber, that's all.
That would be awesome. If I'm an old person, I want a cane lightsaber.
And you know he and Yoda are going out for drinks afterwards. You can tell they're old buddies that get together
with
a bottle every once in a while and bitch about all the other Jedis.
That way's Mace Windu.
No fun is he. Does not know how to have a good time.
So what did you think of Act 3, Chris?
Act 3 is shorter than Act 1, but it was a little weak. You know, it was... I like the ending of it. But I'm giving this one a lot of credit because of the Columbo thing. Because it sort of runs like a 70s TV crime show, you know?
The whole
way, and it resolves with sort of a cheesy, like, okay, tell the younglings what lesson we learned today and all that. It should have just ended with a freeze frame of Jar Camel and Yoda laughing, like, oh, ha, ha, and then just freeze. Ba-bam, ba-ba-ba-bam. You know, I'm giving them points for playing to the genre that they were biting off of, you know, and playing to the beats of it and to the cheese of it. Playing to the cheese, something I'm always a sucker for.
Yeah.
I know that you're not the biggest fan of this episode, especially. Do you think it might be just because because of the last episode being so insanely good?
Are we rating their episode right now?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay. I just know
you're not the biggest fan of this episode.
A lot of it feels like a filler episode. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, like, light adventures and stuff like that, but it's one of the... And, like, we're still kind of somewhat early into Star Wars. It'd be one thing if this was, like, a Season 1 episode. Season 1 is pretty much one-shots, but,
right,
like, the rest so far, a lot of Season 2 has been, like, huge arcs and stuff like that. The next three we just finished it up with the second Battle of Geonosis. We had a super heavy episode with the Deserter, and the three episodes after this is all in the Mandalore arc with Satine. So it's just, like... I feel like this would have fit better maybe in, like, Season 1, which was a much lighter season. And, like, I'm not saying that, like, that light adventure fun one-offs are bad. It just doesn't feel like it A fits in the season. Right. And there's no lasting repercussions to this episode. Like, Cassie doesn't return. The Twi'lek arms dealer never cashes in his favor with Ahsoka. And it's fun, but it just doesn't... I feel like it doesn't add anything to the greater story. And I feel like Ahsoka knows the importance of her lightsaber. She didn't need to go through this. And I would love to see her face Anakin with this whole realization. Like, it just... There's no emotional quarrel between a master and Padawan, and I really wanted to see that. There's nothing about her disappointing her master, and that she would have to, like, he would drive her to get it. And, like, when she lost her Padawan braid to Cad Bane, for example, it was a big moment. Like, she was, like, ready for revenge and to take out Cad Bane, and, like, she was really proud to get her Padawan braid back.
Right.
So I feel like this is just a filler episode in this season when there's so much more heavier things going on right now.
I can see that. I can see, like, if this episode maybe was more popular, they would have, like, and they had more episodes like this, it sort of took place down in Coruscant. You know, they could have, they might have brought back that guy. That guy might have been, like, the informant that she always runs into, you know, and she eventually strikes a relationship with him as an informant. But maybe this episode was, like, didn't do it. You know, I'm also a sucker for one and dones, too.
Yeah, like, I think this just would have worked a lot better in season one. I don't think it works very well. Well, and it's not that it's bad. I just think that other episodes are way better. It's not a bad episode. And I love Cassie. I really love Cassie. I just feel like other episodes are better. This isn't a bad episode. It's just not a great episode. It's okay. It's a really good, watchable, fun little episode. So.
It would probably be a good introduction to people. But at the same time, it would be a bad introduction because it's not indicative of the rest of the series. But I could see people seeing this, like, as a first episode and going, well, that's a fun little show.
But even then, like, you don't even have, like, much Anakin. No. And you don't,
But it would be more about how it tells a story, you know, than the characters.
Like, when you were saying that this is a PG-13 with, like, Alpha's TM, no, this is just a PG episode. Yeah. Second Battle of Geonosis was a PG-13 episode. Yeah. And it just, I don't know, it's just, it's okay. Like, it's okay. My only other note I had for Act 3 is I'm surprised that they're using police droids over clones in this episode, which I mentioned. But I know, because, like, we know that clones are there to protect Coruscant, though Cassie does cut a few droids in half, so I'm glad that no clones were harmed in the production of this episode.
I think they were trying to keep the clones out of it to cover Ahsoka's ass.
That's a very valid point.
That's not to get the clones involved until you have to, you know?
Yeah.
Keep it her own little adventure, and then she's not going to get in trouble. She'll learn a lesson, but she's not going to get in trouble for it.
Yeah, though I do have to say,
some property damage was done, though. Some extreme property damage. Those billboards can't be cheap.
Oh, I just like when Cassie was on the crane and, like, cut the rope and was writing it down and then let it go and it fell completely. Someone died under that thing.
Yeah, I mean, was it?
Someone got smushed.
Right, and wasn't there? I would think that Coruscant would have some sort of gravity nets or something. Because they have so many things flying over people that are walking that they would have some sort of thing that would catch anything that's dropping after a certain point. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, you have a certain level that things fly at, and once anything gets under that, it maybe has a sort of force field that will lower something slower to the ground. That's the only thing I can think of. Otherwise, it would be extremely scary walking down there because all it would take is one car's navigation thing to go awry, hit another car, cause a chain reaction, and just cause destruction raining down upon the populace every day, all the time. You know how often car crashes happen.
Yeah, that's a very good point. They probably have, like, a ray shield that, like, if something falls, it pops up and just, like, maybe, like, 10 feet above people's head and it, or above the buildings, and it protects the buildings below.
Yeah, you'd still think, though, like, the next day the Jedi would be like, listen, we're getting reports of lightsaber damage all around here. We gotta find, is there a Jedi running around? What's going on? And if not, who's got a lightsaber, you know?
And Ahsoka's just like, it's not me!
I hope you catch the guy.
But But yeah, that's all I really had. Oh, and I bet Clone's like working in Corazon because I'm sure that's the most cushiest place compared to say like Janos's.
Yeah, it's probably like almost like shore leave for them.
Yeah.
They're probably with Yoda in the massage parlor.
Well, we do know that there's a clone cantina, so.
A clone cantina.
A clone Tina. We've made that joke before. I still love it. Shut up. Well, what were your final thoughts of the episode?
I liked it a lot. It's no Bombad Jedi, but I'm charmed by the Columbo-ness and Jar Camel, so it's getting a 7. I'm giving it a 7.5 out of 10.
All right.
Just a little above like a good, decent episode for showing some writing huevos.
I pretty much said how I felt. You know, it's compared to the rest of the season, it's fun to get a one-off adventure, and I've always liked Cassie as a character. Like, I've always wanted to see her again. So, I mean, it has a great action sequence and good sound design, and I mean, it's fun. So, I mean, it's great. So, I gave it a 13.5 out of 10. So, about a little more than a 6.5.
Okay. A little higher than I thought you were going to.
I mean, there are definitely episodes I've rated lower. I mean, it's okay. It's okay.
Well, I recommend it.
Chris, can I ask you something?
Sure.
Do you know the Muppet Babies theme song?
No. Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
I don't know.
No, I've watched the Muppet Babies before, but that was, what, 20 years ago?
I know.
Something like that. I mean, I was a little older than you, but I was probably chemically impaired when I watched the Muppet Babies. I just remember, all I remember is, all I can, my brain can come up with is, Muppet Babies. And that's
it. I keep thinking the Gummy Bears theme song. That's the only song I can think of. The Gummy Bears bouncing here and there and everywhere. So the reason why we're bringing this up, dear listeners, is we got some feedback.
Do you want me to sing it? Because I can try.
I was going to make it up.
I'm going to fake it, but I'll try. I'll use my musical experience to try to... Maybe I'll have an instant total recall too as I sing it.
Okay, well let me pimp it this.
I know everybody wants to hear Hope sing because she's actually got the singing voice, but
no, I don't.
This is what happened. This is what's going to happen every once in a while. So sorry.
So as always, listeners, we would love to hear your feedback. You can leave us feedback at iTunes where you can rate and review our show, and we would love to do that for you to do that because it's how people find our show. Also, we will read your feedback here. And we also have the Two True Freaks Facebook page. This week, our feedback comes from our friend Aaron on the Facebook page, and he was talking about our episode, Children of the Force. Take it away, Chris.
Okay, so this is sung to the tune of Muppet Babies.
Well, you gotta read his little line before it.
Yes, okay. For some reason, I keep hearing the Muppet Babies song in my head today. So in honor of Hope's little song parody, here's mine for this episode.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to raise my voice and pitch to try to simulate the actual, what I'm sort of hearing in my tattered memory.
Aaron, I'm sorry now. We don't.
I'm sorry too.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
All right. I'm just stalling again. We had a moment of you being permit. Jedi babies, we make your dreams come true. Jedi babies, we can float things in the air. Just close your eyes, raise your hands, and you can throw things everywhere. Jedi, Jedi, Jedi babies. You just have to go into like old like Tin Pan Alley songwriting mode. Come on, hurry, give me a bouncy C. Jedi babies, come on.
You did better than I would. You know that scene in Elf where he's trying to make up a sonogram? Like a song telegram?
Oh, no. Sonograms, though, for looking at babies, though, Hope.
Yeah, well, the song
telegram. Oh, sonogram. Thing. Okay.
Yeah. The scene in Elf where he's trying to make up a song telegram, and he's just like, I'm singing, and this is is my song. That's probably what mine would have sounded like.
I'm picking out a Jedi thermos for you.
Jedi babies, we make your dreams come true. Jedi babies, we can float in the air. That's what it would have sounded like, because I don't know what the Muppet Babies. I haven't seen Muppet Babies since I was like 9. So, all right, well, that's about it for this one. Where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. where I sit upon my in my Trump Tower of podcasts.
I thought you were about to make a Game of Thrones reference, like my
on the
my
Iron Throne of podcasts. Winter, the podcast Winter is Coming. Hope podcast Winter is Coming.
I don't know by the time this comes out, I'll be pushing fall.
That's true, but yeah, twotruefreaks.com is home to the whole Two True Freaks network. We got all kinds of podcasts. We have somebody's doing a nice little run of a Firefly podcast that should be well underway by the time this comes out, maybe even almost over, because we're talking one season, and I'm sure they'll throw in Serenity too in there. We've got horror movies, we've got podcasts on B movies, on comic books of all flavors. There's a lot of different comic book podcasts, including our kind of like signature comic book podcast, general comic book podcast, Back to the Bins.
Back to the Bins!
Which has a just famously amusing crew.
I just thought of Hamlet. Instead of get thee to the nunnery, get thee back to the bins!
Get thee back to the choppa.
But, get to the choppa! Yeah, not a tumor.
We just have a zillion billion podcasts. You should come go to twotruefreaks.com and check them out, and you'll see the whole list, and you can just go through, and we've got roughly 8 years of back episodes, so that could keep you busy for a long time if you like
things. Until you die.
Yes, exactly. So this could entertain you or irritate you for the rest of your life.
I'm not irritated.
Yeah, that was when my band put out their first album. the local music critic, in a positive review, though, put us in the category of irritainment. I've always loved that. Hey, you put Frank Zappa there too, so if you're in the irritainment box, you're in a pretty good box. But Hope, where can they find you? You have more diverse, interesting things going on the interwebs than I do. I just have one podcast network, and that's it.
Well, you can find me at JGuys and Jedi. I run our Twitter, and you can also find me at Hope Molinax on Twitter. And I also write for What the Fangirl. And just to date this episode a little bit, I just finished writing a review of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which came out 2 days ago. So that dates this episode.
You like bought it and read it like immediately, didn't you?
Oh, I bought it and I went home and I read for 4 hours and then went to bed because I had to. I had a store meeting the next morning, and then I got home from my meeting and I finished it.
Banged out the rest of it. All right, we'll have a little.
Yeah, I mean, it's a play. In 4 hours I read 200 pages because it's a play, so it's a very fast read.
I'm going to quiz you a little bit about that after we get off the air, I think.
You'll have to quiz me very quickly. I can't stay on.
Oh, okay.
So, all right, well, I guess until next time, roll yourself a jar of Camel, sit back, relax, and sing some Jedi Babies. We'll make your dreams come true.
Just one more question.
Okay.
No, that's just what Columbo would do. I'm sorry. I don't really have one more question.
Just one more question.
Just one more question. Do you have any Jedi babies in that box over there?
That box of jar Camel. Poor little Jedi babies crammed into a carton.
Don't you feel like having a cigarette right now?
Are we smoking babies? Hey, bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
We were finally invited aboard one of these spacecraft, which landed near Ann Arbor, Michigan on October the 24th of 1954. This is a drawing of the craft. As I was leaving the craft, the commander, Soltek, said, "Soon others of your people will be able to have an experience similar to this."